Welcome back to the second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. If you've listened to the first hour, which I trust you have, you are aware that this is a rebroadcast of a special that I did in 1992, August 30th of 1992, of the four of the surviving Milovsky children at the time. It was Goldie, Gitti, Mort, and Ruthie. I'm very sad to note to you that since that time, Mort and Goldie and Gitti have passed away. Their brother Al had passed away before 1992. So two of the surviving sisters are Ruthie and Minnie. I was at the home of Goldie in Lakewood. And as I mentioned, this is one of the most often requested programs that I've done in the many years that I've been on the air, since 1977, actually. So I will continue the interview. I just want to point out that during the period of the late 80s and the early 90s, I was honored to have Rabbi Shulam Gordon give a weekly commentary on my program. He was a very special person who I admired, and I must say I miss him very much, and he was an inspiration for all who knew him. So when you hear the beginning of this, we're going back to 1992, and Rabbi Shulam Gordon is beginning with his Devar Torah. I'm pleased to have with me once again Rabbi Shulam Gordon of Congregation Avot Zion at 421 Boyden Avenue in Maplewood, New Jersey, for his weekly commentary. Good evening, Rabbi Gordon.
Good evening, Charlie. The forthcoming week is the first in the Jewish month of Elul. After Elul follows the eventful month of Tishrei, in which occur the most momentous festivals of the Jewish calendar: Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Simchas Torah. Elul has always been regarded as the month of repentance, a time for serious introspection and stocktaking by the individual Jew of his religious achievements in the year just coming to an end, coupled with firm resolutions to improve in the year ahead. A beautiful Hasidic allegory, however, explains the difference between Elul and Tishrei. When a king is in his palace, it is extremely difficult to obtain an interview with him. However, when he leaves the palace and goes out to the fields to meet the people, it gives an opportunity to all who wish to approach the king and present their petitions to him. In fact, the king receives even his most lowly subject graciously and grants his request. At this time, however, one has to be wary of the grave pitfall. The lowly person can easily deceive himself into believing that he has not failed the king at all. His station in life and his service to the king must be satisfactory, he reasons, for here comes the king smiling at him and showing him a pleasant disposition. Were the king to be in a palace, no such mistake could possibly be made. The peasant would simply not be allowed to enter the palace until he had devoted much attention to his appearance and character. And Elul, the supreme king, is in the field, seeing his people. The awesome majesty of his kingship is not so apparent during this time, and all those who try and approach the king find that it is unusually easy to do so. The king indeed receives us graciously, but we must not make the grave mistake of thinking that we have now reached perfection. We must work hard on improving our character and deepening our faith, pray and study with deeper sincerity and feeling than during the rest of the year. For soon Rosh Hashanah will come, heralding the month of Tishrei, when the King of Kings will return to his palace and sit on his throne in awesome majesty, reviewing the record of each of his subjects and determining our fate. Let us try to utilize this month of Elul properly, and we will surely be blessed with a healthy and happy new year, and aksiva vachsima teva for ashnas geyula v'yeshua. Thank you. Amen.
That was Rabbi Shulam Gordon,
And on behalf of the rabbi, I invite you to his class in Tanya, which is heard every Monday evening at 8 o'clock at his congregation. That's Congregation Avot Zion at 421 Boyden Avenue in Maplewood, New Jersey. And now back to our interview with four of the Malofsky children. And during the second hour, we'll hear some of the great music of their father, Shmuel Malofsky, together with the family choir.
We lived in Borough Park in Brooklyn. We had a big three-story house in Borough Park.
Too bad you don't have it now because with the prices there, but anyway.
My father gave away the house, literally gave it away to a young rabbi. A bunch of family. They were. She was about 19 and he was about 24 and they had 9 kids already. So Papa felt very sorry for them. So he says, okay. We bought a little farm here in Lakewood.
And we were close to the Irvington.
I lived in Englewood. I'm Gitti. And Ruthie lives in Freehold. And Morty lived in Lakewood,
yeah.
Too.
I moved he bought into a house the in Lakewood. City of Lakewood. We're in rural here on the farm, which where we are at the moment.
Right.
And there's 15 acres here that was really God's little acres. Papa used to walk the fields.
In case you want to buy the farm, you got it.
Okay, but so you were in Borough Park, and then because you were appearing at the Irvington, New Irvington, then you decided to move to Lakewood.
Papa told us he couldn't stand the subways, and we used to go every other day downtown on the subways together to sing at the radio station, and he said, we have to go away from the subways, so we went to Lakewood. So he said, now my kids won't have to drive the subways.
He's saying there for a
You're forgetting something, too. You're forgetting the fact that we made so many weddings.
Well, we did millions of weddings. I sang because about 7,000 times.
In Yiddish or in English?
In both.
You know, in New York, when we were there and we were really working, we used to make 2 weddings on a Saturday night because they used to start late. We had a police escort and limousine waiting downstairs. Mm-hmm. We had a 27-minute wedding ceremony that was actually took 27 minutes. And we used to run down and they'd run us to the next hall and we'd make another ceremony. And on Sundays, we made like 5.
We had a place in Brooklyn called the Empyrean Manor. And they had 3 floors and
went from one wedding to the next.
They used to finish one wedding upstairs. I used to start with the wedding downstairs. And Goldie
what was
the,
I singing?
The Vimale.
Vimale.
Goldie sang the Vimale. And I used to start with the Because upstairs. So by the time she finished the Vimale downstairs, I used to grab a little canopy as we ran back. We were crazy. We did so many weddings there.
Yeah, those people are really married.
And Goldie wrote the speech. She wrote the speech for the rabbi that took exactly 3 minutes. If he went on. It was a lot of fun.
We had some great experiences together.
Yeah, but we sang with Papa. It was such a joy.
The thing is that we as American people were always we. And I remember my own experience. When I used to finish a Rosh Hashanah, it was like walking 2 feet off the ground for 6 months. I didn't need ground.
It was an inspiration. The whole thing was an inspiration. And then when Pop got sick and everything went down. For us, everything went down the drain.
But we were sort of retiring before that.
We were retiring.
We shouldn't have, but we were doing that.
Well, Papa wrote his music, and he sent stuff around, and there was always millions, hundreds of letters that used to come in for nedivas all over the world. They all thought that we made all kinds of miraculous money, but we sent when we didn't have, we sent. We sent refrigerators, we sent clothes, we sent whatever we could. Pop had family that was left in Russia. We tried to help them. We did. We all did. We all put into the pot, and we all worked together.
This has just been such an experience hearing these memories of the past. What I'd like to do is go through some of these albums with you, and for the second hour, for various of the selections, I'd like to play some of your favorites, and perhaps you could give some background on some of the pieces. Continuing now with our conversation with the Malofsky children, there was one aspect that you were telling me about in terms of a theme song. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about this?
Yeah, we had a theme song that we used to, was identifying ourselves all the time, wherever we sang in any little city, and it
Yeah, but first, before you sing it, let me explain what the concept was. When we came into a little city, a small town, where we had to give a concert on the way to a major concert, the human interest factor of a father singing with six children was always good for free radio time or free newspaper advertisement, but they couldn't advertise the concert, actually, particularly on the radio. But it was interesting for them, the human interest factor, the father and six children, they gave us radio time. So we did a few numbers on the radio, and then as they would close out, we did this theme song. And
to identify us,
and of course to identify the concert, which the girls will sing it.
So it was in Yiddish, and of course they didn't understand Yiddish.
No, the theme song was do 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 do. Anyway, so we had to think of something. So Papa thought that in order for people to know where the concert was without anybody being, we didn't want to push the advertisement. But still and all, while we were on the radio and we knew we had a large audience, so we might as well do it this way. Kinsigayin morgen, morgen heute Nacht, wenn die Herren
fantastic.
Yes,
we're going to have a comeback tour. That was beautiful.
So that gave the address that was of the shul. That told them where the shul was and told them to come here with tomorrow night.
Told them the time the concert started.
Morgen auf der Nacht, come on down, you know. And nobody was offended by it. They all thought we were closing off our little show with our theme song.
Oh, that is just a fantastic story. Now, tell us about your experience with Jan Pierce.
This is a very interesting experience.
Well, Jan Pierce was a very good friend of my father's. And at one time, he just, not too far before he passed away, he was called to come to Chicago to daven for the Yontif. And he was a little leery of it, because the opera is his style. But for the davening, it wasn't quite his style, the zuganish and the saying and the words. So my father got a letter in the mail saying he would love to talk to Papa, if we can make a meeting. So we made a meeting between John Pierce and Papa, and lo and behold, John Pierce hired my father to teach him all the Zuganish and all the sayings and all the prayers.
The Nusach from the Davening.
And so John Pierce was excited about it, and we were excited about it. And so John Pierce used to come to my house in Freehold and sit down at the table and talk with Papa, and Papa used to teach him. And then we made up that we should go into New York to his apartment. And we used to bring Papa to his apartment twice a week, and we used to go shopping on Fifth Avenue while they were discussing and learning Chazunish. Uh-huh. And then they became very good friends. And years after that, we had a concert at the Garden State Arts Center. And John Pierce was there, and he called us to ask us to be with him. And we sang on the stage together with John Pierce, and it was very exciting.
We sang background. We were choir to Jan Pierce. He did several opera selections, but he did one Chazunish selection, and we were his choir.
Yes, it was a great honor to do that, great honor for us. We still talk about it as a great honor.
And he adored Papa, and it was an honor for him to have Papa be there at his side, too. I want you to know that Papa was so proud of his kids. You couldn't have said a bad thing about his kids to him. He loved them. He was so proud of the way we sang together. And I want you to know that we were so proud of him. There was never a greater father. We were so proud to know that he was loved by so many people all over the world. It was a thrill.
Let's hear some of your father's great selections. How about telling us some of the cantorial pieces that you particularly liked?
Well, we used to, when we were younger, of course, we used to argue about the favorite record. It's very hard to pick a favorite. We love them all so much. But Shemer Kobichyos, which he said was a unique piece of music, and his rendition of it was out of this world.
We're going to hear four that you have all told me are among your favorites. I know it's hard to pick one, but we'll hear Shomaya Kol Bichyos, then Morin de Vishmaya, Vishormu, and then Va'al Yadei.
Kill a
listening to the magnificent voice of cantor Shmuel Malofsky. I'm sitting together with four of the children, and we have Goldie and Gitti, who is also Trudy, Trudy known as Gitti, and then we have Ruthie and Mort. Your father sang with Yasla Rosenblatt, and we're going to be hearing a selection right now. Tell us a little bit about this.
Did the Yafu, you're going to show? Well, that's a long, long time ago. That's before our time, even. But that's when he was a protege of Yasla's, and his greatest desire, he always told us as we were growing up, that he should sound like Yasla and be like Yasla, and because he was his role model, his idol, his everything.
And he did. He got the falsetto. He fashioned after Yasla, and he did his falsetto wherever he was, and people used to stand up. They didn't believe Papa's falsetto. It was so beautiful. And I know very few people who could do that.
Let's hear this magnificent selection together with two of the world's great, great cantors, Shmuel Malofsky and Yasla Rosenblatt.
Oh,
now going to come to a real favorite of mine, and I know of many of our listeners, which is the Malofsky family version of L'chor Dodi. Now, I know this is a favorite of yours also.
It used to be one of our very favorites, especially when we were singing Zmiris and around the table. We sing L'chor Dodi in the old-fashioned way until Papa wrote this one for us. We used to sing L'chor Dodi L'kras Kalo. Beautiful. That's beautiful, too.
Yes.
But then Papa said that he has to write a thing for us, especially for the three of us, me, Gitti, Goldie, and Ruthie.
You know, I know it's an bit of an imposition, but let's hear a little bit of this.
Okay. You ready? Ready? Wait, this is the part that comes after L'chor Dodi. This is the middle.
Okay. Is that beautiful? Oh, I want to ask you, how long has it been since you've sung that together?
I haven't seen Ruthie and Trudy in the last 3 months.
Goldie hasn't been feeling well, but you just did a beautiful job.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was just wonderful. It was inspiring to me, too.
I'm so grateful that you're together and sharing this with us. It's just magnificent, really. Yeah, we got to have a revival of the Malofskys.
That sounds good.
You know, we got to work on that one. That would be great.
Okay, let's get the grandchildren involved.
That's right.
You never know. You never know.
We can do it with your help, Charlie.
Well, if I can be of help, it would be my pleasure, really. And I'm hoping, look, I know a lot of people have been looking forward to this show. I have received many letters and calls, and when I mentioned that we were going to be doing this, there's a lot of people out there who are anticipating this show, and I'm so grateful that you took the time to share all these memories and this magnificent music with us.
It was a pleasure to do it. I just want you to know that we just barely, just the tip of the iceberg, because we have so many, after all those years, we just tried to get the most important points across, but there's so much more. So much more to be able to be told.
There's so much to be heard about the family.
Well, you know what? I'm making an offer right now. We're going to get together after you hear this, and we'll make a note of things that we didn't discuss, and we'll have a second. We can go on and on. I mean, this is very, very important.
We can do this for about 40 years.
That's great. Well, on behalf of my listening audience, I just have to tell all of you how grateful I am, and I know we are, to be together and to share the great, great music of the Malofsky family.
We too, Charlie, are grateful that they remember us and they do sometimes think of the Malofsky.
And it's through people like you, Charlie, that help keep the name going. Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
We'll now hear some more selections of the Malofskys and be continuing with Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Holidays just around the corner. Let's hear the Malofskys with Al Chet.
Al
Another selection appropriate for the forthcoming weeks. Let's hear Barosh Hashanah.
Me mio, mio amor. Mi vecchiezza, oi, 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 mi vecchiezza.
To an end the interview that I had with the Malofsky children, and I trust that you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed it, and I'm not quite sure what my next programming is going to be the next few weeks. Maybe taking a hiatus. I'm trying to come up with something creative. You can check the index to see what's going on. So we're back to June 24th, 2013, and as I mentioned, this was a rebroadcast from August 30th, 1992. Thank you so much for joining with me, and I hope that all is well. And you know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com. Shalom, everyone.